welcome to the Saving Castles podcast, the sanctuary for castle devotees and medieval history enthusiasts. Prepare to embark on a thrilling voyage through time as we unveil enthralling history and legend. From ancient folklore to cutting-edge restoration, we've got it all covered. So grab your headphones and let's dive right in.
In the shadowed halls of history, where the echoes of the past whisper tales of valor, treachery, and the indomitable spirit of those who dare to defy fate, there lies the story of Jean de Clisson, a name that resounds like a battle cry across the seas of time. This is not just a tale of a noble woman. It is the saga of a transformation so profound, so imbued with a thirst for justice, that it crosses the boundaries of legend and lore, anchoring firmly in the annals of history. Today, we embark on a journey back to the 14th century, to the heart of Brittany and France, where Jean's story unfolds, a narrative rich with chivalric honor, fierce loyalty, and a vengeance so relentless it gave birth to a legacy that endures. Jean de Clisson's life began, as most tales of nobility do, with the trappings of wealth, prestige, and the rigid expectations of feudal society. Born into a world where the lines between duty and desire were clearly drawn, Jean was a daughter of Brittany, a region renowned for its rugged landscape and the resilient spirit of its people. This was a time when the air was thick with the anticipation of conflict, as France found itself embroiled in the tumultuous early stages of the Hundred Years' War, a protracted struggle that pitted it against the might of England. Amidst this backdrop of looming conflict, Jean's story takes a dramatic turn with her marriage to Olivier de Clisson, a man of considerable influence and martial prowess. Together, they navigated the treacherous waters of 14th century politics, their lives a testament to the alliances and enmities that shaped the fate of nations. It was a union marked by love and partnership, but also by the shadow of political intrigue that hung heavily over their domain. However, the very fabric of Jean's world was torn asunder when betrayal struck at the heart of her family. Olivier, accused of treason in a court rife with corruption and malice, was executed by the French king, his head displayed on a pike as a grim warning to those who would dare oppose the crown. This act of treachery, a stark violation of chivalric codes and the sanctity of loyalty, ignited a flame within Jean, transforming her grief into a seething cauldron of revenge. In the aftermath of tragedy, Jean de Clisson made a choice that would forever alter the course of her life and etch her name into the annals of maritime history. Refusing to bow to the weight of her sorrow, she embraced the path of the pirate, a decision that spoke volumes of her courage and her refusal to be silenced by injustice. Gathering a loyal band of followers, Jean took to the seas, her heart set on vengeance against the king who had robbed her of everything she held dear. Jean's transformation was not merely a change of circumstance. It was a rebirth that saw the emergence of the Lioness of Brittany, a fearsome pirate queen who commanded the Black Fleet, a flotilla of ships as dark as the vengeance that fueled her crusade. Under her command, these vessels became the harbingers of doom for the French fleet, striking with precision and ferocity, a testament to Jean's unwavering resolve to exact retribution. Yet Jean's story is more than a tale of vengeance. It is a narrative that challenges our understanding of loyalty, justice, and the power of the human spirit to transcend the confines of its suffering. In her relentless pursuit of justice, Jean shattered the conventions of her time, defying not just the French king but the very expectations of her gender and station. She navigated not only the treacherous waters of the English Channel, but also the rigid social mores of medieval society, emerging as a symbol of resistance and empowerment. As we delve into the life of Jean de Clisson, we are invited to explore the depths of human resilience, the complexities of moral justice, and the enduring legacy of a woman who turned her personal tragedy into a crusade against tyranny. In the tapestry of history, where threads of destiny weave the saga of heroes and villains, a singular strand glimmers with the tale of Jean de Clisson, marking the inception of a journey from nobility to infamy, from the chateau to the tumultuous seas. Our narrative embarks in the verdant landscapes of Brittany, where Jean's story unfolds, a tableau set against the backdrop of medieval France, a land ensnared in the throes of feudal strife and the nascent whispers of the Hundred Years' War. Jean was born into a world where lineage determined one's path, where the nobility played the game of power with the finesse of chess masters, each move a calculation of alliance, betrayal, and sovereign ambition. Her marriage to Olivier de Clisson was emblematic of the era, a union that melded the strategic with the personal, binding two influential families in a covenant that was as much about love as it was about fortifying their standing amidst the volatile political landscape. Olivier, a man of valor and renown, stood as a bulwark against the encroaching tides of conflict, his loyalty to the crown as steadfast as the walls of his fortress. Together, they navigated the labyrinth of nobility, their partnership a beacon of stability in a realm where alliances were as fragile as glass. But the serenity of their life in Brittany was but a veneer, masking the tumult that simmered beneath. The specter of war loomed large as England and France edged ever closer to the abyss of conflict, the air thick with the tension of impending hostilities. It was a period marked by the clash of kings, where the destiny of nations hung in the balance, swayed by the ambitions of monarchs and the courage of knights. In this cauldron of intrigue, Jean and Olivier Chateau stood as a bastion of loyalty to the French crown, their lives intertwined with the fate of their country. Yet the ideals of chivalry and honour that defined their existence were about to be tested in a crucible of betrayal. The very principles that Olivier had upheld with unwavering dedication were to be the harbingers of his downfall, a tragic irony that would set the stage for Jean's transformation. As the storm clouds of conflict gathered, Olivier found himself ensnared in a web of suspicion, a pawn in the larger game of power that saw nobility as expendable in the quest for dominance. His subsequent capture and execution by the French king, an act so ruthless it shattered the chivalric code, served as the catalyst for Jean's metamorphosis. The world she knew, built on the foundations of honour and loyalty, crumbled into dust, leaving in its wake a resolve forged in the fires of vengeance. Jean's response to this cataclysm was not one of submission, but of rebellion, a defiance that saw her shedding the mantle of nobility for the cloak of retribution. Her transition from the chateau to the sea, from a noblewoman to a pirate queen, was a journey of both loss and liberation, a testament to the indomitable spirit of a woman who refused to be silenced by tyranny. In embracing the path of piracy, Jean charted a course that was as audacious as it was unprecedented. She ventured into a realm dominated by men, her name becoming synonymous with fear and respect on the high seas. Her transformation was not merely a pursuit of vengeance. It was an assertion of agency, a declaration that she would not be consigned to the margins of history as a victim of injustice. As we delve into the noble beginning of Jean de Clisson, we are reminded that the seeds of legend are often sown in the soil of tragedy. In the labyrinth of human emotions, where the paths of love and loss intertwine with the shadows of treachery, the story of Jean de Clisson emerges as a beacon of both tragedy and indomitable resolve. It is a tale that begins not with the clashing of swords, but with the shattering of trust, a betrayal so profound that it echoes through the annals of history, a testament to the fragile veneer of loyalty in the court of the French king. This segment of Jean's life unfolds against the backdrop of the Hundred Years' War, a canvas painted with the hues of conflict and the stark contrasts of honor and deceit. Olivier de Clisson, Jean's husband, a knight renowned for his valour and unwavering loyalty to the crown, found himself ensnared in a web of political intrigue that would ultimately lead to his downfall. The dynamics of power within the French court were as fluid as they were ruthless, with alliances forged and broken in the whisper of a moment, a milieu where the sword of justice often hung by the slenderest of threads. In this world of shifting loyalties, Olivier's fidelity to the king was unyielding, a beacon of chivalry in an era where such ideals were increasingly overshadowed by the machinations of power. The betrayal that would seal Olivier's fate was orchestrated with a precision that belied the chaotic undercurrents of the time. Accused of colluding with the English, an allegation as perfidious as it was unfounded, Olivier was thrust into the merciless hands of the French judiciary. The trial, if one could call it that, was a farce, a predetermined conclusion masquerading as a pursuit of justice. Olivier's fate was sealed not in the halls of justice, but in the shadowed corridors of power, where his death was decreed not for any crime, but for the potential threat his influence and loyalty to the crown represented. Jean, upon receiving the news of her husband's capture and subsequent execution, was thrust into the abyss of despair. The man she loved, the father of her children, was taken from her in an act of callous betrayal that transcended the personal and touched the very core of the chivalric ideals that had defined their lives. Olivier's execution, marked by the macabre display of his head on a pike at the Nantes Bridge, was not just a message to those who might dare to defy the king. It was a stark illustration of the fragility of honour in the face of absolute power. The impact of this tragedy on Jean cannot be overstated. It was a crucible that transformed her grief into a fury as relentless as the tides. But Jean's response to this cataclysm was not to retreat into the shadows of mourning. Rather, she emerged from the crucible with a resolve forged in the fires of vengeance. In a world where women were often relegated to the margins, Jean refused to be silenced. Her grief became the catalyst for a transformation that would see her renounce the trappings of nobility for the unforgiving life of a pirate, a decision that spoke volumes of her courage and her refusal to submit to the injustices that had befallen her. This chapter of Jean's life is a poignant reminder of the depths to which betrayal can sink and the heights to which the human spirit can soar in its quest for justice. In the annals of history, where the tales of vengeance and valour are etched into the very stones of time, the transformation of Jean de Clisson from a noblewoman into the fearsome lioness of Brittany stands as a testament to the indomitable will of the human spirit. The genesis of this transformation is rooted in the aftermath of tragedy, in the wake of Olivier de Clisson's execution, an event that did not signify an end, but the beginning of a new chapter. It was a moment that saw Jean standing at the crossroads of fate, where the path of conventional mourning lay on one side, and the road less travelled, that of vengeance and defiance, lay on the other. With the resolve of a woman who had lost everything yet refused to be broken, Jean chose the latter, embarking on a path that would forever alter the course of her life. Jean's decision to take to the seas in pursuit of vengeance was unprecedented, not merely for its audacity, but for the societal constraints she defied in doing so. In an era where women were relegated to the roles prescribed by tradition, Jean shattered these conventions, selling her lands and possessions to finance the construction of her first warship. This vessel, which would come to be known as the Black Fleet, was not merely a ship. It was a declaration of war against the King of France, a tangible manifestation of Jean's resolve to seek justice for the wrongs inflicted upon her family. The acquisition of her fleet marked the beginning of Jean's transformation into the lioness of Brittany. She assembled a crew of loyal followers, men who were drawn not just to the promise of plunder, but to the strength of Jean's leadership, her unwavering commitment to her cause, and her vision of retribution. Together, they embarked on a series of raids against the French, targeting the king's ships with a precision and ferocity that quickly became the stuff of legend. Jean, commanding her fleet from the forefront, became a figure of both awe and terror. Her ships painted blackened sails dyed red, symbols of the blood that had been unjustly spilled and the darkness that had descended upon her heart. But Jean's transformation was not merely a physical undertaking. It was a spiritual journey, a process of becoming that transcended the mere act of piracy. She adopted the moniker of the Lioness of Brittany, a title that encapsulated her ferocity, her nobility, and her unyielding nature. Under her command, the Black Fleet became an instrument of vengeance, a weapon wielded with surgical precision against those who had betrayed her and her family. Yet, Jean's vendetta was governed by a code of honor. She spared those who hailed from Brittany, focusing her wrath solely on the French sailors who served the king. The legend of Jean de Clisson, the Lioness of Brittany, grew with each raid, each encounter on the high seas. Tales of her exploits spread far and wide, inspiring a mixture of fear, admiration, and disbelief among those who heard them. She was a ghost upon the waves, a specter of vengeance that haunted the French navy, a reminder of the price of treachery and the lengths to which a heart wronged would go to seek justice. Jean's transformation into the Lioness was a journey of reclaiming power in a world that sought to diminish her, a testament to the strength of a woman who refused to be defined by her suffering. In her quest for vengeance, Jean transcended the limitations of her gender and station, challenging the very foundations of the society that had sought to constrain her. The transformation of Jean de Clisson into the Lioness of Brittany heralded the birth of an entity that would become the dark spectre haunting the French maritime endeavors, the Black Fleet. This was not merely a collection of ships. It was the embodiment of Jean's wrath, a tangible manifestation of her quest for retribution, painted in the colors of night and blood, symbols of the darkness that had enveloped her soul and the vengeance that fueled her crusade. In the annals of naval history, few fleets have carried the aura of myth and menace that surrounded Jean's Black Fleet. These ships, cloaked in black, emerged from the mists of the sea like phantoms of doom. Each vessel was a testament to Jean's resolve, her meticulous planning, and her unwavering commitment to a cause that transcended personal revenge to touch upon the universal themes of justice and retribution. Jean's leadership of the Black Fleet was a masterclass in the art of naval warfare and psychological tactics. She understood the power of symbolism and fear, leveraging the ominous appearance of her ships to strike terror in the hearts of her enemies before a single sword was drawn. The sight of the Black Fleet on the horizon was enough to send ripples of panic through the ranks of the French navy, a prelude to the inevitable chaos that would ensue once battle was joined. Under the command of the Lioness, the Black Fleet embarked on a series of raids that were as strategic as they were savage. Jean targeted the lifelines of the French crown, attacking merchant ships and naval vessels with a precision that spoke of her intimate knowledge of the sea routes and her tactical acumen. Each assault was a carefully choreographed dance of death, with Jean's ships weaving through the waves, their cannons roaring in defiance of the king who had wronged her. The legacy of the Black Fleet was not merely written in the ledger of ships captured or destroyed. It was inscribed in the hearts of those who sailed with Jean and those who opposed her. Her crew, a motley assembly of outcasts, loyalists, and adventurers, were bound to her by a loyalty that transcended the mere promise of plunder. They saw in Jean not just a captain, but a symbol of resistance against tyranny, a beacon of hope in a world darkened by injustice and betrayal. Jean's rules of engagement revealed a complexity to her character that belied the ruthless pirate queen persona. While her vendetta was with the French crown, she maintained a code of honor that spared the lives of Breton sailors, a nod to her roots and a reminder of the just cause that underpinned her campaign of terror. This distinction drew a line between vengeance and wanton cruelty, between the pursuit of justice and the descent into barbarism. The impact of the Black Fleet on the French maritime trade was profound, disrupting supply lines, sowing fear among the merchant class, and forcing the king to divert resources to counter a threat that seemed to materialize out of thin air and disappear just as quickly. The tales of Jeanne de Clisson and her ghostly fleet of night and blood became the stuff of legend, stories told in hushed tones in the taverns and courts of Europe, a testament to the power of one woman's resolve to challenge the might of a kingdom. Yet the true legacy of the Black Fleet lies not in the destruction it wrought, but in the narrative it created, a story of loss, vengeance, and redemption that transcends the boundaries of time. In Jeanne de Clisson, we find a figure of mythic proportions, a woman who, in the face of unspeakable tragedy, chose not to succumb to despair, but to rise against it, wielding her grief as a weapon against those who had wronged her. In the turbulent waters of the 14th century Atlantic, Jeanne etched her story with the blade of defiance, each act of piracy a stroke against the canvas of history, painting a narrative of a woman who transformed her grief into a weapon of war. Jeanne's forays into piracy were not random acts of violence, but targeted strikes against the French crown, a calculated campaign to dismantle the maritime might of a king who had wronged her. Each raid, each ship captured or sunk, served as a testament to her unyielding resolve and the righteousness of her cause. The seas became her domain, a realm where she reigned supreme, not as a queen of lands and titles, but as a sovereign of vengeance, dispensing justice on her own terms. The strategic genius of Jeanne's campaign lay in her intimate knowledge of the sea routes and the vulnerabilities of the French naval operations. With the precision of a master tactician, she orchestrated her attacks, exploiting the element of surprise to devastating effect. Her targets were chosen with meticulous care, ensuring that each blow struck at the heart of the French economic and military strength. The Black Fleet, under her command, became a phantom menace, a shadow that loomed large over the French maritime endeavors, striking fear into the hearts of sailors and merchants alike. Yet Jeanne's acts of piracy were imbued with a code of honor that distinguished her from the common brigand. She spared the lives of her Breton compatriots, a nod to her origins and a demonstration of her principled approach to her campaign of vengeance. This selective mercy was a hallmark of her operations, a clear demarcation of her objectives, and a statement of her personal vendetta against the French crown rather than against the French people. The tales of Jeanne's encounters at sea are woven with the threads of legend and reality, a tapestry of epic confrontations and narrow escapes. Among these, the story of her face-to-face encounters with French warships stands out, battles where the Lioness of Brittany displayed her prowess, not just as a tactician but as a warrior, leading her crew from the front, sword in hand, her presence on the deck an embodiment of the fury that drove. Her acts of piracy, while driven by a desire for vengeance, also served as a beacon for those disillusioned by the tyranny of the French crown. Jeanne became a symbol of resistance, a figure around whom stories of defiance and courage coalesce. Her legend grew with each raid, each tale of escape, each demonstration of her indomitable will. The Black Fleet, under her command, was not just a force of retribution, but a manifestation of the quest for justice in an age where the law was often bent to the will of the powerful. Her acts of piracy, while marked by violence, were underscored by a sense of purpose, a quest to balance the scales of justice in a world where such balance was often lacking. Jeanne de Clisson's ascension from the tragedy-stricken widow of a nobleman to the revered and feared pirate queen of the Black Fleet is a narrative arc that defies the constraints of her time. In the unforgiving and treacherous world of piracy, Jeanne emerged not just as a participant, but as a sovereign entity, commanding respect and allegiance from her crew and instilling fear in the hearts of her adversaries. This segment of her story is not merely about her acts of piracy, but about the leadership qualities that elevated her to legendary status among the pirates and beyond. Jean's leadership was characterized by a combination of strategic brilliance, unwavering courage, and a deep sense of justice that transcended the personal vendetta driving her campaign. She navigated the complexities of commanding a pirate fleet with the acumen of a seasoned leader, balancing the need for discipline and loyalty with the fierce independence that defined her crew. Her ability to inspire her men, to rally them around her cause, and to lead by example, set her apart in a realm where brute force and fear were often the primary tools of command. The loyalty Jean inspired in her crew was born not just of her success in plunder, but of the respect she earned through her actions and decisions. She treated her crew not as mere subordinates, but as comrades in arms, sharing in the risks and rewards of their endeavors. This sense of camaraderie and mutual respect was the bedrock of her leadership, creating a bond that was unbreakable even in the face of adversity. Jean's crew followed her not just for the promise of riches, but for the belief in her cause, a testament to her charisma and conviction. Jean's leadership style was also marked by a progressive approach to governance that was ahead of her time. She demonstrated an understanding of the importance of morale, the value of strategic mercy, and the effectiveness of psychological warfare. Her decision to spare Breton sailors, for example, was not just a reflection of her regional loyalty, but a strategic move that sowed seeds of doubt among her enemies and bolstered her reputation among her allies. This blend of ruthlessness and restraint underscored her complex approach to leadership, navigating the fine line between fear and respect. Moreover, Jean's tenure as a pirate queen challenged the gender norms of the 14th century, shattering the stereotypes of female passivity and submission. Her command of the Black Fleet was a direct affront to the societal expectations of women, especially in the male-dominated world of piracy. Jean's success in this role was a powerful statement on the capabilities of women in leadership positions, providing a narrative that questioned the prevailing notions of gender and power. The challenges Jean faced as a woman in a leadership role in such a hostile environment were myriad, yet she confronted them with a resilience and resourcefulness that solidified her position. Her ability to maintain control over her crew, to strategize and execute raids with precision, and to navigate the political and social ramifications of her actions speaks to her exceptional qualities as a leader. Jean's story is not just one of revenge, but of transformation and leadership against the odds. Jean's tenure as a pirate queen, set against the backdrop of the tumultuous 14th century, offers a lens through which to explore the complexities of leadership in an era of conflict and change. Her story is a testament to the fact that leadership is not just about the position one holds, but about the impact one makes, the values one embodies, and the legacy one leaves behind. The rise of Jean de Clisson, the Lioness of Brittany, and her Black Fleet cast a long shadow over the French crown. The king's response to this unprecedented challenge was a complex tapestry of fear, frustration, and a grudging respect for the formidable adversary that Jean had become. As word of Jean's exploits spread across the land, reaching the ears of nobles and commoners alike, the French king found himself in an untenable position. The maritime terror inflicted by the Black Fleet not only undermined the economic stability of his realm, but also posed a direct challenge to his authority. Jean's transformation from a noblewoman to a pirate queen, her defiance of the crown, and her successful raids against French ships were a public affront that could not be ignored. Yet the king's response was hampered by the very nature of Jean's campaign, swift, elusive, and devastatingly effective. The royal councils convened in shadowed chambers, illuminated by the flickering light of torches, where the fate of the lioness was debated with a sense of urgency and desperation. Strategies were proposed, ranging from the dispatch of naval forces to hunt down the Black Fleet to offering bounties for Jean's capture. Yet each plan was met with a stark realization of the difficulty of capturing a figure who had become more myth than woman, a ghost upon the waves, elusive as the sea mist. In an era where the power of the monarchy was asserted through displays of military and economic strength, Jean's continued defiance was a blemish on the king's rule, a challenge that went beyond the tangible losses inflicted by her raids. It was a psychological blow to the royal prestige, a narrative of resistance that inspired others to question the inviolability of the crown. The king's response, therefore, had to navigate the precarious balance between retribution and the risk of elevating Jean's status further among those disenchanted with royal authority. Amidst this tumult of royal deliberation, efforts to capture Jean intensified. The king's navy, once the uncontested ruler of the seas, found itself in a relentless pursuit of shadows. Naval engagements increased, with royal ships patrolling the waters, with orders to bring the lioness to justice. Yet, for every encounter that ended in the capture or sinking of a pirate vessel, it seemed as if two more would rise, a testament to Jean's cunning and the loyalty she inspired in her crew. The king's response was not limited to military action. In the court of public opinion, efforts were made to demonize Jean, to paint her as a traitor and a heretic, a woman who had forsaken her noble lineage for a life of crime. Yet these attempts at character assassination often fell on deaf ears, for the legend of the lioness had taken root in the hearts of the people, her story a symbol of resistance against tyranny and injustice. In this chess game of power and perception, Jean de Clisson maneuvered with the skill of a seasoned player, always one step ahead of the royal efforts to contain her. Her raids continued, each a defiant stroke against the canvas of royal authority, each escape a narrative of cunning and courage that fed the legend of the lioness of Brittany. The king's response to Jean's challenge was a mirror to the complexities of medieval governance, where lines between justice and vengeance, between authority and tyranny, were often blurred. In Jean, the crown faced not just a pirate, but a question of its own legitimacy, a challenge that went to the heart of what it meant to rule. As the saga of Jean de Clisson and the king's response unfolds, we are invited to reflect on the nature of power and resistance, on the stories that shape our understanding of authority and rebellion. Jean's story, set against the backdrop of the king's efforts to quell her uprising, is a testament to the enduring human spirit, a narrative that challenges us to consider the price of justice and the legacy of those who dare to defy the might of kings. In the vast, unfolding tapestry of Jean de Clisson's life, a narrative replete with the echoes of battle cries and the silent whispers of strategy, a pivotal moment arrives, a turning of the tide that alters the course of her saga. This chapter is not merely one of continuation, but of transformation, a testament to the fluid nature of destiny and the capricious whims of fortune. It is here, in the twilight of her campaign of vengeance, that the waters of fate shift, leading Jean from the shadowed realms of piracy to the unexpected harbors of pardon and a new beginning. The years of relentless pursuit, the clash of wills between the indomitable lioness of Brittany and the might of the French crown, had woven a complex web of animosity, respect, and grudging admiration. Jean's exploits on the high seas, her strategic acumen, and her unyielding quest for justice had not only cemented her legacy, but had also sown the seeds of change, both within her heart and in the perceptions of those who sought her demise. As the seasons turned, so too did the hearts of men. In the corridors of power, where once there had been only the thirst for retribution, there emerged a recognition of the futility of continued conflict and the potential for reconciliation. The king, faced with the endless cycle of pursuit and evasion, began to entertain the notion of pardon, a concept as foreign as it was necessary, a diplomatic solution to a conflict that had bled the kingdom of resources and resolve. Simultaneously, Jean's heart, tempered by the fires of vengeance and the cold embrace of the sea, began to yearn for a semblance of peace, a sanctuary from the storm of her own making. The death of her beloved Olivier, the catalyst for her transformation, remained a wound upon her soul, but the passage of time had brought with it a measure of reflection, a dawning realization of the possibility of life beyond the confines of retribution. It was in this climate of mutual exhaustion and evolving perspectives that the path to pardon was forged. Negotiations conducted in the shadows, facilitated by intermediaries who navigated the delicate dance of diplomacy, culminated in an offer of amnesty. This was not a capitulation, but a recognition of Jean's nobility, her cause, and the respect she had earned even among her adversaries. The pardon was extended with the understanding that it was not just the cessation of hostilities, but the beginning of a new chapter, a chance for redemption and restoration. Jean's acceptance of the pardon was a decision that bore the weight of her legacy and the future of her family. It was a choice that spoke of her capacity for growth, her ability to transcend the confines of vengeance, to embrace the potential for peace. The lioness of Brittany, once a harbinger of doom upon the waves, stepped into the light of a new dawn, her eyes set not on the horizon of retribution, but on the possibility of renewal. The transition from pirate queen to pardoned noblewoman was a journey fraught with challenges. Jean had to navigate the intricacies of reintegration into a society that had once viewed her as an outlaw to rebuild her life amidst the ruins of her past. Yet in this process of rebuilding, Jean found an unexpected ally in Sir Walter Bentley, a former adversary turned companion, who saw in Jean not the pirate but the woman, the warrior, the survivor. Together, Jean and Walter embarked on a new adventure, one not defined by the clash of swords, but by the shared pursuit of peace and stability. Their union, marked by mutual respect and understanding, was a testament to Jean's indomitable spirit and her capacity to find love and partnership in the aftermath of turmoil. The tide that had turned in Jean's life brought with it the promise of calm seas, a horizon where the shadows of the past were illuminated by the light of forgiveness and the potential for new beginnings. In this chapter of her saga, Jean de Clisson emerges not just as a figure of vengeance, but as a symbol of resilience, a reminder of the power of the human spirit to transcend the bonds of hatred and to chart a course toward redemption. Jean's journey from the depths of vengeance to the shores of pardon is a story that resonates across the ages, a saga that challenges us to consider the capacity for change, both within ourselves and in the world around us. Jean's legacy is a multifaceted prism, reflecting not only the darkness of her quest for vengeance, but also the light of her capacity for change. In the shadowed halls of history, where the deeds of men often eclipse those of women, Jean's story shines with a rare luminescence, a testament to the power of a woman who, in the face of unspeakable tragedy, chose not to succumb to despair, but to rise against it, wielding her grief as a weapon against those who had wronged her. The legend of the Lioness of Brittany, her black fleet a phantom menace upon the seas, her heart a fortress of resolve, has been immortalized not just in the tales of old, but in the very fabric of maritime lore. Jean's strategic brilliance, her unwavering courage, and her quest for justice resonate across the centuries, inspiring a myriad of stories, novels, and historical accounts that seek to capture the essence of her indomitable spirit. Yet Jean's impact extends beyond the realm of storytelling into the very heart of societal perceptions of gender and power. In an era where the roles of women were rigidly defined by the constraints of patriarchy, Jean shattered these boundaries, challenging the prevailing notions of female passivity and submission. The legacy of Jean de Clisson is also enshrined in the physical remnants of her life, the castles and lands that once bore witness to her triumphs and tribulations, These sites, steeped in the echoes of the past, serve as tangible connections to Jean's story, inviting contemporary visitors to traverse the bridge between the present and the historical, to stand where she once stood, and to reflect on the enduring nature of her legacy. Furthermore, Jean's story serves as a beacon for those navigating the complexities of justice and vengeance, her life a reminder of the fine line that often separates the two. In her quest for retribution, Jean walked this line with a balance of ruthlessness and restraint, her actions driven by a code of honor that spared those who were not her direct adversaries. This aspect of her legacy invites contemplation on the nature of justice, the ethics of vengeance, and the possibility of redemption, themes that remain as relevant today as they were in the 14th century. As our journey through the tumultuous saga of Jean de Clisson comes to a close, we find ourselves at the precipice of reflection, gazing back upon a narrative that transcends mere historical, recounting to touch the very essence of human experience. In the annals of history, where the echoes of the past whisper tales of valor and treachery, Jean's saga emerges as a beacon of defiance, a narrative that challenges the confines of her era. Yet, Jean's tale is not solely one of vengeance. The eventual pardon extended by the French crown and Jean's acceptance of this olive branch symbolizes the possibility of reconciliation, the acknowledgement that even in the midst of conflict, there lies the potential for understanding and peace. Jean's legacy, immortalized in the legend of the Lioness of Brittany, continues to resonate through the ages, a mirror reflecting the complexities of the human condition. It is a reminder of the enduring impact of one woman's choices, of the ripples that emanate from a single life to touch the shores of eternity. The saga of Jean de Clisson is a call to reflection, inviting us to consider the legacies we leave behind, the stories that will be told of our own journeys. It prompts us to question the conventions of our time, to defy the expectations that seek to confine us, and to chart our own course through the tumultuous seas of life. Jean's life, marked by tragedy, transformation, and triumph, serves as a beacon, illuminating the path for those who dare to dream, to resist, and to forge their destiny against the odds. As we bid farewell to the Lioness of Brittany, we are left with the echoes of her legacy, the enduring tale of a woman who, in the face of unimaginable adversity, chose to rise, to fight, and to ultimately find peace. Thank you for joining us on this enchanting journey through medieval history. While our weekly episodes will continue to captivate your imagination, there's an exclusive treasure trove for subscribers, a secret vault of bonus episodes filled with extra tales and deep dives into the subjects we cover. Your curiosity fuels our mission, and we're truly thankful for your support. Until we meet again among stone walls and towering turrets, keep that torch of curiosity burning bright. Thank you for listening.